What's up, everyone? This is M. Tady Talk, and today we are going to talk about sports cards, my favorite thing in the whole wide world. So, recently I've seen a lot of people jumping on the hobby, following Gary Vee, love the man to death, met him, have a lot in common with him, how he came up to how I came up, started selling sports cards. He's a bit bigger than me, so he has a lot of money to spend on it. I'm just an old warehouse manager that does it on a side note. So, what I want to talk about is basically there's a lot of new 16-year-olds coming out and they're buying up stupid amounts of money worth of cards that they shouldn't be looking at buying because that's what they think. So, a lot of people buying Luka Doncic. I've got Luka Doncic, but I bought him at $12, sent him away to Beckett, and came back at $10. I didn't buy him at $250, $500, whatever he is now. But here's the strategy you got to do. If you want to get into investing cards, buy a box of cards, practice on flipping it on eBay first. So you buy a box of cards, get what, 24 packs, some depending on what brand you buy, but you need to sell each single card, whether it be a base Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox insert, whatever, just practice with that to start off with, because you got to think long term, if you want to invest, yeah, fine. Buy the $200 card, sit on it for a couple of months, a year, whatever, and then hopefully it goes big and you get a couple of grand for it. But here's what you got to do, because there's a strategy involved, and all these investors have strategies. They don't tell you their strategies. They tell you what they really want you to do. So they tell you to go buy the Lukas, because they already got 100 Lukas sitting there that they brought at like $10 each. So it drives the prices up. Sales go through the roof. And then everybody lucks out. Sports card investors will sell to collectors. Collectors already have those cards because they're the first cards they buy, because you've got to get in the mindset of a collector. Now, I've been collecting for over 20 years, and I can tell you the first card I bought of my very first player was his rookie card, because sports card collectors know, they follow the college games. They know when a player is about to hit the NBA, and they already know they're going to collect him. So the day his card's released, his rookie card's released, they will buy that card straight up. Then you as an investor, you try and sell them that card. They don't want it, because why investors are buying cards at $200, they've already brought it at $5. So they don't care whether it's graded. They don't care if it's just raw. And I'll get into grading and raw later. But they just don't care. They want that card. As soon as it gets released, they buy it. So then you're stuck with a card that you might not be able to sell unless you sell it to another investor. So you could buy a card for $200, sell it to another investor for $500 later on, and then that investor will then sell it to someone for a grand maybe. But you're got to think of long term that you want to get cards that collectors want, not other investors want to invest in. So you could buy 10, you could say, let's go with the basics. So Luka Doncic, everyone's buying his cards at $200. Then you got Giannis cards were $1,000 to make $3,000. Would you rather buy one Giannis card that's going to make you $2,000 profit when it hits $3,000? Or would you rather buy 5 Luka cards for $200 each that could be worth $1,000 one day and make you $5,000 rather than $2,000? it's pretty basic. So I have a few strategies that I won't give away too much, but you got to treat, if you're going to go into, you're going to want to buy the cards collectors want. So you're going to look at the low numbered cards. You're going to look at the one of ones. You're going to look at the 20 of 99s and the low, the numbered cards that not many are circulating out there, because they're the ones the collectors want. Collectors want it. The ultimate collector, his goal or her goal is to get the full color of Prism, like every color, the 10 out of 10 gold, out of 5 green, whatever the colors are these days, like they keep changing them. So they want the black one of one, they want the out of 5, they want the out of 10, they want the out of 15, they want the out of 20, and so on and so on. They want that whole rainbow of prisms. So there, if you look on Beckett price guide, you'll see that there's an NA next to the price, because the NA means whatever a collector is willing to pay. There's no, they can't put a price on that because it's what it means to the collector. So you as an investor have to think, well, should I buy the rookie cards that are mass produced, can get it paid $10 to $30, get it graded and flip it? Or do you then go, well, stuff the rookie cards, let's go after the one-of-one. If you look at all the cards that have sold, whether it be for $1 million, like let's say recently, the $1 million card that sold, the MJ LeBron James one-on-one patch, that's not a rookie. Like the rookie patch of LeBron one-of-one, I think sold for, what was it, $360,000, which is like 600 Australian. So you've got to look for those cards. You've got to chase those cards if you want to make it big. You can invest in little players and hope they get big, which is what I do at the moment. Everyone, I don't listen to sports card investors, because you've got to get in their mindset. Why are they telling you this? Why are they telling you to jump on, start buying LeBron James rookie cards? Because it drives the prices up and they already own 10 of them. So they're telling their following what cards to buy. You've got to think outside the box. You've got to look at the next. So basically what I do is I treat it like real estate, where if you have $1 million property on your street, it'll raise the prices, your house price, even if you've got a shitty fibro $60,000 to $200,000 house. If you're next door to $1 million property, your property will be valued more than what it is. So you've got to look at the players around. Like, here's an example. I've been buying up for the last 6 months since Zion come back. I've been buying up all the Lonzo Balls, because Lonzo Ball is the one passing Zion the card. The Ball, sorry. So therefore, his prices are going to raise up because his assists go up. And then the hype around Zion is going to come back on Lonzo. Then once LaMelo gets to the NBA next year, then they go one-on-one, his prices are going to rise again. Kyle Kuzma's another one I've been buying, because LeBron's there, Anthony Davis is there. Everyone's buying Anthony Davis, LeBron cards, thinking, oh, they're going to win the championship. And I'm a massive Lakers fan, always have been. So I'm hoping they win the championship once the NBA gets back up and running. But I'm buying up Kuzma's. I was buying Kuzma's the day he came out, because he's going to be another PC of mine. So I just like him. So I brought up some of the cards. So then you got to think of other things outside the box, like coaches. Like I bought up after Kobe passed away. Kobe was my favorite player. So not only did I own all the Kobe cards, I bought up all the Phil Jackson cards that had Kobe in them, not realizing that The Last Dance was going to come out. and everyone was buying Phil Jackson cards, but I already owned half the Phil Jackson cards because one, he has, 11 championships, and two, not only did he coach Kobe, he also did coach Michael and won championships with both. So you got to look at that value, but you could look at Luka and you could be buying up Luka. The guy's in his second year, I think it is, of the NBA. Yeah, he's a gun now, but you got to strategize more and you got to look at stats. You got to look at what his game time is, how many games he's sat out at just a young age, and how many injuries he's had. Because it will only get worse as his career goes on. So if he's sitting out so many games at an early age, then chances are. But then look at, players, you got to start looking at players in college. If you want to be a good investor, start watching more college games and know who's going to be in the next class of drafts to buy their rookie cards. But at the moment, I'm not buying any rookie cards. I'm not buying any more Lukas. I'm not buying Trays. I'm not buying Tatums. I already own all them. I already brought all them ages ago. I was buying Trays at $4 each. I brought three Lukas, one for $8 and two for $12. Sent them away to be graded at BGS, and they both of them, one I sold raw for $25 to another collector. Because for me, it's not about how much money I make. It's about making other collectors happy. So I sell on eBay, but if a collector asks me for a card, I will track that card down and I will buy it and send it to him. Because it's what collectors do. They help each other out. So I sold my Giannis Prism Rookie BGS 9.5 to another Giannis collector for $100. It's now worth, $3,500? But I don't regret that because I believe that if you put it out there, it's going to come back tenfold. So if you help other collectors later on down the track, they'll see you and they'll be like, oh, that guy done me a good deal. And then you'll get a good card for it in the end. So I've helped a lot of other collectors out. But my thing is, you got to be a fan of the NBA or whatever sport you collect first. Then you got to be a collector second, then an investor third. That what will get you ahead of the game. That's what makes investors good, because they're collectors. They have PCs, which is their personal collection. And then they have other players they like, which they collect. Then you have sports card investors who just buy up everybody that they think is going to go up. But they don't look at what they're doing. You sell it to collectors. You don't sell it to other investors. If you want to make money, you've got to find the cards that the collectors don't have yet to be able to flip to them. So you've got to think about what's driving prices up. You've got to think about economy. You've got to think about, not everybody out there is Gary Vee and has $1 million to spend on sports cards. So if you buy a card for $250 and flip it for $300, that's mad. Then you buy a card for $300, flip it for $4, and just build it up. So eventually you could have that $10,000 card that everybody wants. Like recently I saw Luka one-on-one, which is potentially pulled from a thing that people have been chasing for the last year or two. So that card he could put it on, it's apparently only worth $40,000, but he could put it on eBay and get technically $100,000. I've seen you got to realize that sports card collectors know the real value of cards. Like I'm a massive Kobe fan, and I was buying up heaps of Kobe cards. Every week I'll buy a different Kobe card, and I finally got hold of his rookies. Bought his rookies for about $4 each. Then after he passed, they went up. People were trying to get him, sell them for $500. No one's buying them for $500 because collectors brought them for $4. Like, Don't use tragedy to rip people off. So I know a few other things. Grading. Let's talk grading, actually. Let's get off this. Sorry, I'm going to go off into all little tangents. My mind just does that. So let's talk grading. BGS, PSA. I don't care. I've never owned a PSA until now. I've bought a few grading PSA ones. I will always choose BGS over PSA, and basically because BGS control the pricing. Like Beckett, you don't go to a news agent and buy a PSA price card, you buy the Beckett price card. It's always been number one. To me, that's the slabs are better. They look better on the stands. It's just my OCD. So basically, I've recently started buying PSA cards, but for my to resell, but for my own collection, I will buy only BGS. I'll buy raw and send it to BGS rather than buy straight up BGS, because you could buy a Luka rookie card for $100 and pay $30 for BGS, then you get it back. It's a $500 card. Don't be fooled by that. Like, you got to look at stuff like that. If you're on a budget, then stuff like that. Buy the card raw, send it to BGS, and then whatever you get back, you get back. You can still make money. It's still worth money when it comes back. $30 is a better investment than $500. So I rate, so a PSA 10, to me, I reckon a BGS 9 is equivalent to a PSA 10 in my book. People don't like me saying that, some people, but that's just my opinion. It's harder to get a BGS 9.5 or a 10 than it is a PSA 10. They hand that shit out like Tic Tacs. So they have more people working there. They process the cards faster. Therefore, they don't think. So I'll do a video on TikTok and YouTube later about how I look at cards to be graded, how I go over them. I have a good grading service here in Australia, Cherry Collectibles. They actually, you can pay $5 extra per card and they will clean it, and they get more tens than anyone I've ever seen. So shout out to Cherry. But here in Australia, the market's not too big for sports cards. So we like to send, I usually send all my cards to ComC and sell them there. And plus, when you send them to ComC, here's a tip for you Australian collectors. If you send your cards to ComC and they sell at ComC, when the money goes from US to Australian dollars, remember that shit's double. So if you sell a card for $10, you get 17 Australian dollars. So basically, yeah, that's also a good investment. I buy boxes of cards off several Australian people on eBay and their websites, and I open them. And then I sell the cards that I know Australian collectors will want. I'll sell them on eBay. And then the other ones, I'll try and hit PCs for myself, because it's more fun to buy boxes than it is into group breaks. This is all the group breaks I've been in, I've got nothing. So I'd rather than spend money on getting a box. It's more fun opening the packets. It's like I was a kid again. So you just do that, and all the good cards I get that I know are hot in America, because the thing is, Australian collectors, some of them only collect mainstream people like Jordans and Trae Young and Jason Tatum and stuff like that. They're not collecting Bol Bol and all these other new rookies that the American guys are. So send your cards to ComC. Don't send too many. I just sent 500 and it's going to cost me a bomb. And I got in trouble off ComC for sending them that much, because I'm not a power seller apparently yet, even though I make a good amount of money a year off it. But yeah, so that's just a few of my opinions. What else can we talk about? when it comes to price cards. So strategies, I'm not big on strategy. I've told you a couple earlier in the podcast about strategy and about real estate and stuff like that, but you just got to go with your gut. Just go with your gut. Pretty much thinking outside the box. If someone wants to buy a shitty ass promo card, it's worth nothing. But I used to collect promo cards. I've still got half my promo cards. If it's a player that a collector wants, and I'll tell you a story. I collect Chris Webber. So Chris Webber, growing up, me and my mates got into sports cards when I was, we were 12 or something. I started off with NRL cards, and then NBA cards hit Australia and I went after them. So I was a massive collector. So one of my best mates, he was Shaq. He collected Shaq. My other best mate collected Alonzo Mourning, and I collected Chris Webber. And he bought a trivia board game of the NBA, and it came with player cards. I bought the card off him. I brought the Chris Webber card out of a board game off him because it was a Chris Webber card. That's how passionate collectors are. So that's where you've got to look. You've got to look at, one, the player they're collecting, and find whatever player they're collecting. Like you see on these Facebook groups, if you go on a Facebook group and you see a guy, so my strategy, another strategy you can do, which I've tried in the past, you can go on Facebook groups and you can see people go, all right, I've got $1,100, show me your best Shaquille O'Neal card. And people start posting pictures of their Shaquille O'Neal cards. You then go on eBay, search all the Shaquille O'Neal cards, and if you find a good one-on-one and you get it for, say, $200, you then email him, like send him a message on Facebook and try and sell it to him for $250 to $300 if you want. That's another strategy you can do. You can help, you can resell to other collectors. You can save it. Like if you save the collector's email account, then you can go back and forth and you can wheel and deal with other cards that he might be trying to offload, then you can pass that on to another collector. Like, there's so many ways to get into it. There's so many strategies people use. But again, do your own. Stay in your own lane and you'll be fine. Don't listen to all the people out there that there's 16-year-old kids now that have been bought a Luka Doncic card for $200, now it's worth $500, and they're doing YouTube videos on how they're the greatest sports card investor and giving people stupid advice. Go back to sneaker flipping. Collectors aren't paying that much money for the cards. It's other investors that people are telling them to invest in. You've got to understand that. People aren't going to spend $500 on a card when they've already got it because it's the first card they got. Like, and it's just stupidity. People are going to lose a lot of money, and Australia's already struggling. Everyone's struggling with this coronavirus to make money. Business is shutting. Sports being cancelled. Like, you got to think about it. I'd hold. Everyone's holding at the moment. No one's really buying. Yeah, there's a bit of a price increase, according to eBay recent sales. But other than that, I just stay firm. Like, I'm not even looking at rookie cards now. I'm looking at other options. I'm buying PSA 8s and 9s rather than 10s because it helps the people that can't afford, want that card and want it as a graded card. Hell, I've got Michael Jordan cards here that I bought for $8 because they're PSA 8. But it's a $30 card, maybe if it was a PSA 10, but I just like the look of the card. I don't care about the grade. Like, it's something. Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone will do their own thing. But my advice to everybody is Stop jumping off cliffs because someone else tells you to do it. Basically, that's how I feel. I'm going to talk about other stuff. I'm going to make a proper podcast. I'll do some YouTube videos if everybody wants. Follow me on Instagram if you want, mtady. I post a few of my PC cards. I post thing I'm going to build. I'm building at the moment. I'm building a fitted out wardrobe in my office with cabinets and lockable safes. And it's going to be a full on big project of mine at the moment, is to just focus on sports cards to a point where one day I can quit my job because I'm making money on sports cards and doing what I love. So if that's the one piece of good advice I've listened to Gary Vee, is find your passion and go for it. So I've got a blog out there on Medium about the day that I met Gary Vee and how it was funny how I met Gary Vee. So I was building a sports card website and I was listening to Gary Vee when he first came on the scene, and when he said he was in sports cards, I went to this talk. I brought the cheapest seats available just so I could see him live. I learned from other speakers, and I sat in the back and I posted a photo on Instagram of a cup of coffee saying how coffee was the key today because it was going to be a long ass day. And I got I tagged the promoters, and they messaged me asking if what I do and would I like to give an interview after the whole thing's over. So I said, yeah, I'll sign my release. And they took me upstairs near the VIP area, and they done the interview. They interviewed another guy before me. I said, he can go first. And then I see Gary Vee walking up the stairs, and I was like, here's my chance. So I pulled him aside, chatted to him, got in a selfie, and I laughed because one of my trainers was at the same event. He spent $1,500 on a ticket just to get a photo and meet Gary Vee for the VIP experience. And here I am spending $50 on a ticket and still meeting him and getting a photo. So ask, believe, receive, people. It happens. And I bombed the interview completely because I was just, that's all I wanted. I didn't give a shit about the interview. The lady kind of laughed at me when I said what I was going to do. And yeah, so I was like, I'm planning on building one of the biggest sports card websites in Australia. And yeah, 2 years later and I'm still planning it. I've got it in the works at the moment, but in order to do it, you need a lot of licenses. I started one, but it got shut down from the hosting website I done, because you basically copyright, even if it's my own personal collection I was selling, you just can't do it. So at the moment it's eBay. eBay's the only platform you can do, but the fees are friggin' ridiculous. So I'll do something later on. So thanks for listening, guys. I'm going to do more. I promise I get better over time. This is my first one. Might have a few guests. You might see me on other podcasts, on other YouTube channels, talking about sports cards here in Australia. I've got some big things happening over the next couple of months once this coronavirus shit slows down and goes away, which can't wait to do. I'll be on a few things in the works. You might even see me do a few things on YouTube with other collectors showing off their collections, and a few celebrity collectors out there in Australia that I know are big on cards at the moment. So I might be going around and showing you their collections. But other than that, guys, yeah, so follow me on Insta, DM me, whatever, if you want advice. If you're looking for a card that no one has. I can try and help track it down for you. Yeah, stay humble, stay collecting, and yeah, have fun. Even if you show off your cards and tag me in it, that'd be mad. There's a few cards I'm looking at buying at the moment, but it's kind of out of my price range. There's a few things on the 2020 hit list, so yeah, that's about it, and I'll drop another podcast later on. But yep, that's my opinion, and thank you.